Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we're turning to Matthew chapter 21, but we're also turning to a passage in Luke chapter 13. I want to read that passage. Luke, the chapter 13, and we read a few verses there. Verses that contain the words of the Lord Jesus, and which are very relevant to what it is we want to say. We'll start our reading at verse 22, Luke chapter 13, and the verse 22. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. There's a whole lot of things said there. Yes, he visited the cities where large numbers of people were, but he also visited the villages. He didn't bypass them, saying, oh, there's only a few people there, not worth bothering about them. No, 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 no. That wasn't the Savior's way. And all the time, he was journeying toward Jerusalem. Because at Jerusalem, the Savior was to fulfill the great purpose of his coming, his dying, outside the city walls, on the cross at Calvary. Verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. The overall tone of those words is this. You're asking, are there few that be saved? Don't worry about that. Just make sure you're saved. That's the important matter. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. You know, boys and girls, there will be many a person who had the opportunity of getting saved. And that opportunity then will be taken away from them when they made no use of it. And then they will want to get saved. But it's too late. It's too late. Verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. There were no people more important to the Jews than Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets. For the Jewish man or woman, those were royal figures. And the Savior says, if you don't obey the gospel, there'll come a day you'll see them all gathering in, but you're thrust out. This is real, boys and girls. Verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west. That's us. We live in the west of Israel. And from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. The Jews, the privileged ones, those who had had the gospel for centuries and centuries, but didn't believe it, cast out and gathered in with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, are those Gentiles from all over the world. Oh, what a tragedy to miss the opportunity of gaining heaven simply because of carelessness. Now we are coming to the last study, because today I'll be starting my journey for England, and we'll not be back until school's over at the end of June, so this is my last time with you. I hope we'll meet again at the start of a new school year, but this is our last time, and we want to close our study of Matthew chapter 21 and the parable of the two sons. Let me read verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verses 31 and 32. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. We have noted, boys and girls, just how inexcusable has been the rejection of the gospel by the chief priests and elders. They had heard the gospel preached by John, a mighty preacher, one of the greatest preachers the world has ever known. And as well as that, they had seen others heeding what John said and obeying his call, but they still obstinately refused to heed God's call. That makes them inexcusable. When you hear the gospel and you see others believing the gospel, showing you what you should do, and you don't do it, you are without excuse before God. Please notice that oftentimes it is the most unlikely persons who obey the gospel. The most unlikely ones. God refers here to the publicans and to the harlots, two of the most notorious characters in Jewish society and in society generally, because you'll find the two types of people everywhere across the world. And yet, under the ministry of John the Baptist, they, or those from their ranks, could see it. But the privileged ones, those who had studied the Bible, knew the Bible, were aware of what the Bible had to say, they didn't get saved. You are a privileged group of young people. You're a privileged group of young people. There's not another school in this county, apart from the one in Clogher Valley, that will start the day like this, around God's Word. There's not another bunch of school children who will be reminded of the need to be saved but you. And there's very few others in Ulster. There's very few others in Ireland. There's very few others in the United Kingdom who are enjoying the privilege that you're enjoying today. What are you doing with that privilege? Have you heeded the Word of God? Or are you going to lose out? Here, as I said, we have the privileged Jewish leaders hearing, but believing not. While the poor, blinded, wicked individuals who heard humbled themselves before God, received the words that John preached, and they went into the kingdom of God, it says in verses 31 and 32. They went into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice what happens when you get saved. Are you saved this morning? If you are, then I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus says about you. It says in the verse 31 that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God. That's what happens when you get saved. You go into the kingdom of God. You enter the kingdom of God. You have been outside it before it. You haven't been part of it. But then, as a result of God's mercy toward you, granting you obedience to the gospel, you enter the kingdom of God. I understand the primary schools going off to an exhibition this morning about Vikings, those real rough, tough men that many, many centuries ago raided the shores of the British Isles, including the shores of Ireland. Indeed, many of them took up residence in these lands. And you're going to go and have a look at some of the things that have been dug up and found and belong to them. That'll be exciting. But you'll come back to school again. The visit will end. I don't want to spoil your excitement, but the visit will end, boys and girls. You'll go in, you'll have a nice time looking round at all the thing, and then you'll come out again. But when you get saved, you go into the kingdom of God and you spend all eternity there, seeing things that no man-made exhibition can ever put on show. Oh, boys and girls. We sung that lovely hymn this morning that came to my mind even as I was meditating upon this. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around a sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know as now I know, I am his and he is mine. When you become a Christian, there's an opening of your eyes to the wonders and splendors of God's creation, and that's only the beginning, because we will look upon even more wonderful things in the ages to come. Above all, it says in the last book of the Bible that we shall see God face to face. What a thing that will be. What a thing that will be. That's what happens when you get saved. You enter the kingdom. Look too at the fact that God takes notice of the rejection of the gospel, and then he takes action. Further down this chapter 21, in the verse 43, we read these words spoken by the Saviour. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. This was a warning to the Jewish people generally. If you don't receive me, he said, and receive my message, then the privileges of the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. And that happened. That happened. The Jewish people, as a people today, are in darkness and ignorance concerning the gospel. Only very, very few of them, ever got saved during the period following the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and right up to now. That's nearly 2,000 years. Very, very few of them ever got saved, because the kingdom of God was taken from them. Boys and girls, that's what happens when you reject the gospel. God takes away the privilege. It's interesting just to notice that little phrase, shall be taken. The kingdom shall be taken. You find those same words in the Greek words in Matthew chapter 14, where there took place the wonderful miracle of the feeding of the thousands of people. And there we read that when they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And that little phrase that we're looking at, where the Lord says, the kingdom shall be taken from you, is found there translated by the words, they took up. Now you can understand what happened. When they'd all eaten all they could, there were some leftovers. And they went round and they gathered up all those leftovers. They took them up. That which the people couldn't eat was taken away from them. And that's what happens when you don't eat the gospel food that's set before you. It's taken away from you. It's taken away from you. There may have been somebody amongst the thousands there that were fed by the Lord, and after a moment or two they said, you know, I think I could take another sandwich. Where are they? they've been taken up. Boys and girls, there will be many. We've already considered this. There will be many who, after they have had the opportunity of obeying the gospel, will say, you know, maybe I'd like to get saved. But they'll discover the gospel's gone. It's been taken away. Oh, it's a dangerous business. The most dangerous business, to neglect the word of God. For God notes that rejection. It displeases him. It offends him. And he takes away the offered mercy. One final thing. For those who reject the gospel, hell, the place of everlasting punishment, will be worse for them than for anyone else. Listen to what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for you older ones. Peter says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them." Simply put, those who reject the gospel, it would be better for them if they had never heard the gospel. Because if they died having never heard the gospel, their punishment would be great. But having heard the gospel and rejected it, their punishment will be greater. And that's the warning that the Lord Jesus is giving to these Jewish leaders. Rejecting the gospel makes you more culpable, more worthy of judgment than if you had never heard it. Here's what we read in Matthew chapter 11, the verses 23 and 24. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in you, or in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment." Now, Sodom has been judged, boys and girls. You know that. The Bible records that. But there's further judgment coming. Coming when they are brought before God's great throne to be given their final judgment. But on that day, the wicked, evil Sodomites will be better off than those who heard the gospel and rejected it. That's the picture. Thou, Capernaum, which as the gospel was preached, you were lifted up to heaven. But because you rejected it, you'll be cast down to the lowest hell. Boys and girls, as we come to the end of my teaching of you in this year, I leave you with a solemn warning. Don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring upon your head that double judgment that falls on those who hear and refuse. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today and keep you by his grace as you visit that exhibition. And as you're looking around it, remember, you have looked on even more wonderful things, the treasures of heaven. Oh, value them. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we do commend to thee the school today and pray that your hand will be upon all of the pupils, especially the younger ones as they go to this exhibition. Keep them safe. Bless the teachers who will lead them. We thank you for your mercy as we draw to an end of another school year, Lord. 39 years almost completed. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. O God, we do praise thee for the privileges that we enjoy here in Kilskerry. We ask thee, Lord, that by thy grace they will be maintained and enjoyed and profited from. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.